And we're going to continue talking about exploring the fifth dimension with Dr. Bruce Goldberg. And yes, we're going to get your calls as well. He's a hypnotherapist. He's an expert in past lives. This is going to be fun. Welcome back with Dr. Bruce Goldberg. And Bruce, let's go back to this teleportation as you go to Montego Bay.
Okay, so now I'm on the beach, right? And I'm near the end of my trip here. And this young woman is there, and she's, you know, we're talking and going swimming and sunning. I'm there for a couple of hours. And okay, so now the next thing I know, I'm back in my couch in my living room with my three miniature schnauzers looking at me and like, where have you been, you know? And so you say, okay, so the natural observation is, or the conclusion of my colleagues would be, okay, doctor, you had an out-of-body experience,
right?
Blah, blah, blah. All right, here's where it isn't. Number one, I've done everything in the world you can possibly do with hypnosis, and teleportation by far is by far the most unpredictable and most difficult technique. It is not dangerous at all. I had, number one, a suntan. Number two, I had sand in my little sneakers.
No.
And in my bathing suit, which was soaking wet. And let me tell you something, no matter how many suggestions you give to yourself, you can't give yourself a suntan.
No, I guess you can't.
No, you can't.
You can do mind over matter, but that's a pretty tough act.
Where did the sand come from?
Okay? This is bizarre.
You know what I mean? So that to me is an example of teleportation. By the way, there are many cases. That's a separate show we'll do in the future.
And you left the brunette on the beach.
I know. That was it. Well, you win some, you lose some.
Okay? I guess you can't bring somebody back with you, can you?
No, you can't, actually. This is the only thing you can bring back is your clothes, whatever you're wearing. I'm getting a lot of, there seems to be some confusing from your listeners. They wanted me to clarify this. They were asking me about the CD, the Fifth Dimensional Travel. If you order the Exploring the Fifth Dimension book from my site, either call it in on the 800 Karma for You, 800-527-6248, or if you order it directly by email on the site, which is the easiest way, then you will get, and you mentioned the show, okay, you know, because we'll just say that I'm calling about the offer, I want to get the free CD. You must buy the book to get the free CD. And the CD is valuable more than the book. It costs more than the book normally, so it's a good deal. It's also a good Christmas present. If you don't have a computer and you don't want to buy the book, which is fine, you can get a free written exercise. They're on the site, by the way. The homepage has them. But if you don't have a computer, please, only if you don't have a computer, then if you call my toll-free number, which is 1-800-KARMA-4-U, which is 1-800-527-6248, I will send you a packet which will include, has all the information about books and CDs, and you'll get the written exercise, Fifth Dimensional Travel, and the first 200 callers will get the access to the Akashic Records.
How long is a hypnotherapy session last?
Well, what I do is, you understand, my patients come from all over the world. So what I do is that, I believe in short-term therapy. My initial session is 3 hours. And during that, assuming I've never seen anyone.
That's intense.
Well, it is, but I'm taking a history from them. I'm explaining what I'm doing. I'm diagnosing and treatment planning quickly. You know how fast I work. And then I will spend about at least half that time doing the actual hypnosis. But let me make a point here, since we're talking about soul healing and fifth dimensional travel. This is something that's going to sound like the apocalypse in my field, okay? This does not get me a lot of Christmas cards, but I'm an ethical person and I have to tell the truth. I've been doing this field longer than most of my colleagues, and I've been done more regressions than the rest of the probably world put together. And this is what I found out. By doing the soul healing superconscious mind tap, you don't have to do past life regressions and progressions. They are not the cause of problems. You can do a past life regression or a progression. You can find out some interesting things in your life, patterns and relationships with other members of your family and friends, and that's fine. But unless you raise the quality of the soul's energy, which a regression or progression by itself will not do, then you're really not going to solve the problem.
Well, let me ask you, if you drowned in another life,
mm-hmm.
and you come back into this life.
With the fear of water.
Exactly. Isn't that...
Well, you bring up a good example. In fact, the actual hydrophobia is what it's called. It's a perfect example. There's a woman from Arizona that I worked with the last year, a very nice woman, very classy woman, very well-read. She's very familiar with my work, and she knows who you are, too, by the way. She is a listener. And so she said to me, she says she had hydrophobia, and she also had a couple of other phobias, fear of heights, that's acrophobia, too. And she said to me, doctor, I want to do a past life regression to get rid of the phobias. So before going into my little spiel, I said, well, let me ask you, have you seen any of my colleagues in reference to doing some work with hypnosis? Because she obviously was well-read. And she goes, yes, I've seen three of your colleagues. And she mentioned the names. I shall not mention their names. They're professionals. They're doctors, and they're friends of mine. I know them, okay? I've seen them at conferences, et cetera. And I said, so what happened? She goes, well, I've done 12 regressions with them. And I said, so why are you calling me? She goes, I still have the phobias. And I said, there's a reason for that. I'm not knocking my colleagues. I'm just telling you, I'm not going to be doing number 13. It's an unlucky number. Just remember 1307, right. October, the Knights Templar, okay? And I said, we're going to do a superconscious mind tap if you want to work with me. And she goes, well, will it work? And I said, yes, it will. And I worked with her. I didn't do any regressions or progressions with her. I just did the superconscious mind tap, and she was treated very quickly. She went home to Arizona. And she called me about a month later and said, thank you very much. My phobias are gone. This is unbelievable. I don't know what, I'm playing my CD and everything, but is that all I do? She thought I'd give her drugs and stuff. I said, I don't do drugs. I don't prescribe drugs. Okay, it's all energy. So the answer is you want to treat the cause of the problem, which is energy. It's not drugs. It's not regression. When you do a past life regression, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing to do. There's no danger to it. But it's like watching the History Channel. It doesn't solve anything. Remember Einstein's statement about if you do the same thing over and over again, expect different results, you know, definition of insanity, okay? So if you have karmic patterns, which you will get in past lives,
But I've seen you help people in hypnotherapy.
Yes,
that lady who was from Egypt, remember?
Right. That was on your show, the Beyond Belief, right?
That's
which
right.
Which your audience can see if they go on there. But what you didn't see was the superconscious mind tap. So because when I do a TV show, and I've done two with you, remember the sci-fi thing too we did? When I do TV shows, they don't want to see a superconscious mind tap because the patient isn't saying anything. They're just there like, ohm, you know? I mean, it's boring. So for television, I will illustrate it by actually doing a regression or progression because they're actually speaking and answering questions, and that's more interesting. But that woman I work with, who was a patient of mine, I had did superconscious mind taps with her long before I saw you we did the thing on the TV. So it wasn't the regression to ancient Egypt that solved her problems. Yes, it gave us some insights. It was the raising of the frequency, vibration, or rate of her soul's energy by using the superconscious mind tap that affected the actual resolution. So let me just give you some examples. Some people want to know, what are the advantages of going into the fifth dimension? Obviously, soul healing is a big one here, right? But here are some advantages. One, you eliminate the fear of death, because that's what it is. Death is nothing but the physical body crossing into spirit or fertilizing your lawn, but the soul is eternal, and you'll see that when you go into the fifth dimension. You can contact lost loved ones. I mentioned about the case of the gentleman who had the bereavement issue with his daughter who was killed.
Yeah.
You can contact spirit guides, angels, your higher self, of course, time travel, smart future, the more positive ETs like the Pleiadians or the Actarians. You can do astral negotiation. You can use the fifth dimensional experience to work out difficulties that you've had with people in your life. Could be family members, friends. It could be a producer. It could be a host. It could be anyone.
Huh.
You can do healing. And this is a very important healing now. This is called etheric plane surgery. There's a technique I developed where you can go to what's called the etheric plane, which is one of the higher dimensions. It's in the karmic cycle, but it's a dimension that's very odd to describe.
Do you go there when you die?
Well, you can, but you usually go to the astral plane first, and then you can zip up to the soul plane. But I'll go that in a moment. Let me just complete this.
Okay.
The etheric plane is the one dimension where there are etheric plane surgeons. They're really weird-looking entities. They look like big tadpoles, and if they can actually heal the etheric body. So what's the advantage? The etheric body is the only spiritual body that you have that's identical to the earth plane body. And if you heal the etheric body, you can transfer the healing from the etheric body to the physical body. And that's and I've done that with very serious issues, very high mortality issues that were done when everybody else gave up on them and the person was going to die, you know, and they came to me and etheric plane surgery was done to things like lupus and cancer and AIDS. You can do any of those with that, okay? It's a low, it's not a high percentage, I can tell you right now. So they get calls about this, folks. It's not something that's going to work as effectively like, you know, overcoming a simple habit or phobia or nail biting. But when it works, it's brilliant. It's a beautiful technique. And it's an ancient technique, too, by the way. You can also increase your creativity by going into the fifth dimension. I work with a lot of creative types, actors and, you know, writers and, you know, all kinds of creative types. You can see into the future, past lives, future lives, of course. You can facilitate your own ascension, which is the elimination of the karmic cycle, so you don't have to come back. You can meet, I mentioned time travelers, ETs, etc. You can do teleportation. That's a fifth dimensional technique. You can travel to parallel universes. Next time we do a show, I'll be doing a more detailed one on parallel universes. So your audience, I know they want me to do that. And I will.
Let me ask you a quick question about that. Then we'll take calls or lining up here for you, Bruce. in a parallel universe, what's happening? Is it echoing what's happening on this universe? Is it the opposite? Are you interviewing me? What's going on there?
Well, in a parallel universe, the physical status is the same. In other words, you're going to have the same countries around. You're going to look the same. You could lose weight or gain weight, but you're going to have the same DNA. The only difference is the opportunities are different. You may, for example, you could be a chicken farmer in a parallel universe. Okay, you could be the dentist that you were originally your father wanted you to be in Detroit. Okay. All right, I'm not trying to make fun of you, George, but you know, I know your background. So my point is that, so you could have different occupations or you could have different things happening. Here's one advantage of going to parallel universes, and I work with patients who do this. And this is called the new you technique, and again, we'll go into great detail next time, so I just want to give them a little tease, as you would say. Let's say you've lost an arm, or let's say you have a disease that has caused major problems to your body, okay. Or let's say you have a criminal record, or let's say, you know, something that's irreversible that's occurred to you. You can go into a parallel universe where those things did not happen. And then you can transfer your consciousness, your awareness. It's like changing a channel. It's like going from channel 2 to channel 4, let's say. And then when you wake up one morning, you're going to be on the parallel universe. The other universe, by the way, will exist, but you won't be aware of it. And now you'll be on the universe where whatever issues you didn't like on that original universe is gone. Because you didn't have that lost arm or that criminal record or that disease or whatever that is, or lost loved one. That's another one. People have lost loved ones on certain universes, but not on the other ones. And you can be in a universe where maybe your husband, wife, or child, or whoever's close to you is still alive. And that does happen because you have an infinite number of parallel universes, and therefore every single scenario you can think of is relevant. There are parallel universes where, where the British won the American Revolution, you know? I'm serious.
Interesting.
I'm not trying to depress people, but I've seen them, okay? I've gone through these parallel universes and seen some of these things. It's really strange. So there are things that we have, our history is only relevant to our parallel universe. What happens when you change universes, just to give you a little quick thing, and we'll go into more detail next time, but when you change a parallel universe, you say, what happens to the person? Well, for the first couple of weeks, they have memories of both universes, and then it fades, and then they just acclimate to the...
Is that what deja vu is?
Yeah, actually, déjà vu is a little different. Déjà vu is an outdated term. It's a French term, by the way, and it means it basically means that you walk into a room and you think you've been there before.
Right. Okay?
And you do that because you recognize.
Or you know something's going to be said, or something like that.
Right. Right. Okay. But there's no such thing as déjà vu. What it really is an age progression. And let me tell you what it means. Some people have had déjà vu in buildings that weren't around, that they've never been to before, or that don't recognize the furniture. It's not relevant to their lives. So this is what an age progression, this is what a déjà vu really is. You have a hypnotic level. You go to someone like me, or you do your own meditation, or whatever you're doing, or you play my age progression technique, or my CD. And then you go into the future by a week. And then you see some things happening, and then you come out of the trance, so now you just kind of forget about it. And then as the week goes by, now you're in the scene that you had that progression on a week before, and now you feel really weird. Now you can actually predict things that are happening. I'll give you an example. Years ago, when I first got through from my residency in dentistry, I was in Baltimore, and this was in the 70s, okay? And I was on a date. This girl was about 21 years old. I was like 26, 27. And we went to a movie, and she comes back to my apartment. And what she didn't know is before I picked her up, I did an age progression to see how my date was going to work out, okay? No, wait, it gets better. So I saw her sitting on the couch, on my couch in my living room, and I having a conversation, and then she said something kind of unusual. It was not a typical thing you would say, like, what are you doing, or, you know, how are things going? It was a very unusual expression. So I took a piece of paper out and wrote down that sentence that she said, and I folded it in quarters and put it on the coffee table. So now we fast forward several hours later. After the movie, we go back to my apartment. I give her a cup of coffee or something, and we're talking. And she says, can I ask you a question? What's on that coffee table? And I said, oh, it's a surprise. She goes, well, I like surprises. I said, oh, you're going to love this one. So I said, just keep talking. So she's talking, and we go back and forth. And all of a sudden, I said, stop, freeze. She goes, what did I do? And I said, no, you didn't do anything wrong. Do you remember what you just said? She goes, yeah, I have pretty good memory. I said, what did you just say? And so she repeated the expression. I said, now pick up the paper. So she unfolds and she goes, what is this? Is this black magic? And I said, no, I did an age progression, went to the future, and that was the end of the date.
That was it. She didn't believe that, did she?
But the technique worked. This is for science, George.
You're a hero. Let's take some calls.
Okay.
Let's go to Gordon in Lakewood, California to get things started. Hi, Gordon. Go ahead.
Hey, Dr. Goldberg, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
If time travel is possible, it's inevitable that aliens from the future would eventually, one of them would come back and destroy us all by going back to the very beginning. But how come we're still here?
Okay, first of all, you're talking about time travelers or chrononauts, and you know that's my field. And my book, one of the books you'll see on the homepage is Egypt, an extraterrestrial and time travel experiment.
That's right.
As well as Time Travelers from Our Future, my first
book. You did that about a year and a half ago?
Oh, no. That book has been out for several years.
Has it? Okay.
Yeah, that goes back several years. Anyway, but let me go, this is what happens. When we do have futuristic people that have come back in time. In fact, they're on the Earth right now. At least they're hanging around, but they don't make themselves known because the Men in Black will kill them, you know? But this is what happens. When you go back in time, you're actually going back not into the current universe, but into a parallel universe. So if an extraterrestrial or a human, a pure human as we are, will be in the future, my research shows that we're going to be around until at least 5,000 A.D., so if you come back and let's say you mess it up, you do the Michael J. Fox, you know, you kill your hand is disappearing from the guitar, you know, while you're playing it, you know, Back to the Future Part One. You will do that in a parallel universe, not the one you're in now. So you can literally kill your grandfather in going back in time, and you won't disappear because that will be in a parallel universe. And there's an infinite number of parallel universes. So therefore, in answer to your question, Gordon, it's no problemo. Okay, you're not going to cause the end of the world or your life. It's not going to be negatively affected, at least not in this universe.
How did this all start, Bruce? How did this happen?
What do you mean, parallel universe?
Everything, yeah.
Well, okay,
just the machinery to make it work.
Okay, so this is the kind of thing I know Paul was talking about, how he doesn't believe in the creator because he says, who created the creator, right?
Right.
All right, I can't answer that. Neither can Stephen Hawking or Kip Thorne. You know, they've been working on this for a long time, on ontology, et cetera. But this is the science behind this. This is, and I'm going to give my interpretation. We have a Big Bang theory. Big Bang occurred about 13.7, 0.8 billion years ago. There's always an argument about time. What was there before that? We don't know. There was nothing. There was no universe. And something like a pencil dot, the size of maybe less than an atom, exploded, and then it created all the energy and all the planets and solar systems and dark energy. All that was created 13.7 billion years ago. Okay. Well, in my philosophy, yes, I agree with the Big Bang. There's a lot of evidence. In fact, in 1997, NASA was taking these pictures showing what the universe looked like 13.7 billion years ago. You know, remember that? It was on all over the place?
Sure.
Okay, so what happened is my philosophy, my interpretation is this. There was a Big Bang, but that wasn't the first Big Bang. There have been other Big Bangs. Every 40 billion years, supposedly, there's Big Bangs. But I do believe in a creator. I am a monotheist. People ask me my theological orientation. I don't have a form of religion. I'm a monotheist. I believe in one God, and I do believe in the creator. Because to me, it's illogical. Even if you forget about the Big Bang, I don't think we came from the primordial soup. I'm a biochemist. Do you know how complicated macromolecules are? You just don't form that by putting carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, and nitrogen in a soup and send some Frankenstein electricity to it and come up with a macromolecule to make up our protein, the basis of our cells and DNA. It's way too complicated. In fact, you know, Watson and Crick did the DNA model, and Francis Crick came up with the panspermia theory. You know about that?
Oh yeah. Hold on, Bruce. We're already at the bottom of the hour, but we're coming right back with final phone calls with Dr. Bruce Goldberg, the author of so many works, including Exploring the Fifth Dimension. I'm George Norrie. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And of course, we're going to come back in a moment with our final segment with Dr. Bruce Goldberg and take your questions as we talk about exploring the fifth dimension. And welcome back with Dr. Bruce Goldberg. And Bruce, before we go to final calls, tell folks about the deal that you've got for Coast listeners.
Okay, here's the deal. This is my birthday deal.
That's right. A present to us.
Now, if you would like to experience traveling through the fifth dimension, doing soul healing and all the things that we talked about and more, if you order a copy of my book, Exploring the Fifth Dimension, through my office, you can do it by either email on the homepage of my site, or you can call it in at 1-800-527-6248, which is 1-800-KARMA, K-A-R-M-A, the number 4 and the letter U. Now, if you this offer will not be good at other bookstores. So if you go to Amazon or Chapters in Canada or Barnes & Noble, whatever, they won't do that. They won't know anything about it. But my office is the only one that do that. Just mention the offer. Mention the show, and you'll do it. It's good forever. It's good for every parallel universe, et cetera. Now, those of you that don't want to buy the book but would like to experience the fifth dimension on your own,
And if you don't have a computer, please, if you have a computer, everything is on the site. The exercises are there, plus many others and all kinds of fun stuff. But if you don't have a computer, you can call the toll-free number, and then I will send you a packet with a written, not a CD, but a written exercise called Fifth Dimensional Travel. And the first 200 callers in that particular case will also get a second exercise called Access the Akashic Records. And then you can see, that's how I got to see George's Dexter Monterey life and his other 36th century life. But anyway, so but one thing I want, before we go to the call, is just one thing I want to kind of like give a little global assessment here of soul healing. This is the basic thing about what healing represents from the energy perspective. Healing shows us that our progress through the cycle of life is a chance to let the energy of love flow through us to enrich and to heal us, to let it flow out to enrich and heal all creation. For when we link with love to the light that is everywhere, healing must follow. So in other words, folks, be cool, be spiritual, do good things, and the universe will reward you.
Thank you, Bruce. Let's go to Leanne in Jasper, Alabama now. Hello, Leanne. Thank you. Go ahead.
Hey, George, and hey, Dr. Gober.
Hi.
I have a quick story and a couple of quick questions, and I'll try to make this as quick as I can.
Sure thing.
When I was 3 years old, I had an absolute fear of when I went to bed at night, the house was going to burn up and I was going to be killed in it. And I didn't know anybody that, you know, had been in a house fire. And it seemed like I had memories of burning up in a house fire. And in that life, I felt like I was maybe about a five-year-old girl. And, you know, as I got older, it kind of went away. And then when I was about 20, 21 years old, after I had my son, I woke up one night and I saw this, I mean, it wasn't a dream, it was a vision of me living on a dirt road in a greenhouse, and everybody in the house, including myself, burn up. And I, you know, figured it could have been a past life.
Well, did this ever happen? I have a pretty good idea what this is, but in your life, in this current life, have you ever been in a situation at any age where your house was on fire?
No.
Okay, so let me tell you what it's like. Let me tell you what it's like. There's two options here. You were 3 years old in the first example, and you said that when you were going to sleep at night, you would have these visions or these experiences. When you go to sleep at night, you're actually out of the body, and you were probably perceiving a past life. Now, it could be a parallel life, too, but I doubt that. I suspect you were perceiving a past life. If you were able to get more details, such as the kind of transportation, the kind of clothes people were wearing, that would give you a better idea to date it as far as when it was. But that was most likely, you probably died in the fire, and that's why it would have been a traumatic carryover. You know, this is like a post-traumatic stress disorder, they would call that, you know, if it happened in this life. But that was most likely a past life experience. People do have, and by the way, the late Ian Stevenson, who from the University of Virginia, who did this field for about 60 years, he talked about how the age between 2 and 5, children will have natural past life memories come up. So you were at a perfect age for that when you were 3.
Yeah, and like I said, I think I even knew my name was Elizabeth, and when I died, I was maybe like 5 when I died.
Well, you'd have to get a lot more details if you tried to document it, so that's probably not going to help you there. But I've always, and this is for the audience out there too, not just for you, Leanne, although it's a great story. If your mother's out there, if you want to talk to your children between 2 and 5 and make believe like you're not making fun of them or you're not playing with them, just ask them very nicely, very calmly, what was it like when you were big? And you'd be surprised some of the answers you're going to get. These kids will tell you things that they couldn't possibly know, that they don't see on Saturday morning cartoons. Sometimes they can speak in languages. They can give you details. They can speak with adult expressions that they normally wouldn't use. And these are what we call spontaneous past life regressions. Not common, but they do occur. So, Leanne, that's a great story.
Thanks, Leanne. Was there ever a point, Bruce, during this career for you that you thought that these people might have been hallucinating or anything like that?
Well, of course, at first I thought it wasn't so much, I didn't think of it being psychiatrically psychotic or something very dangerous or just very, shall we say, disturbing from a psychological health perspective. What I did find out was that when I started documenting them, that got me to be really, really, you know, CBS television did the movie The Search for Grace based upon my second book of the same name, which was a fully documented case that they documented, not me. I gave them a few facts and this and that, and they fully documented, and two of the facts that they came up with in the documentation from newspaper articles were incorrect for what the patient told me. As we found out by going into the health records, my patient was right, they were wrong. So it was a fully documented case. So when I started documenting some of these, and more importantly than that, even before the documentation, because I don't really care that much about that, I cared about the clinical resolution. When patients of mine would overcome smoking, weight reduction, anxiety, depression, phobias, relationship issues, when they would change their financial lives, remember I told you abundance is one of the things that is an example or a side effect of soul healing, they couldn't possibly have done that, what, just to please me? You know, is this a placebo thing, you know? And it didn't matter. To me, it's an energy issue. So when I saw the clinical results, which is the majority of what I see, because I don't have that many documented cases in my practice. I've done 35,000 of these altogether on 16,000 patients, and very few of them are documented. But the point is, the clinical resolution was the thing that really turned the tide with me, that got me to be, as the monkeys would say, I'm a believer.
Indeed you are. Let's go to Douglas, Silverdale, Washington. Thank you, Douglas. Go ahead.
Oh, hi, George and Dr. Goldberg. Dr. Goldberg, happy birthday.
Thank you, Douglas. You're a gentleman and a scholar, and I make sure you will never go to the lower astral plane. So what's on your mind?
Well, just first, George, your comment about, and you left the brunette on the beach. That was funny. That was
George will always say that.
But no, you mentioned something earlier, Dr. Goldberg, that jogged my memory. And just I want to say about being on the astral plane, something about a digital clock. First, I just want to say, George, that I was kind of disappointed, not in you. I called up once a couple months ago or so when Dave Schrader was on, and I had this very same question that the doctor already kind of alluded to tonight.
What's the question, though?
Anyway, so you said, like, when you're waking up, you know, you're in that between state,
right?
And you said like the digital clock may seem small or something. So when I was a child, and through adolescence and sometimes in, adulthood, and I'm a very lucid dreamer, by the way, I would, be in that between state and just the whole room would look small and very, very far away.
Okay, remember, lucid dreaming is a baby form of an out-of-body experience, you understand?
Yeah, so I believe it.
I'm
out of the body.
But let me say what I was referring to earlier, just so you understand what I was saying. It was called the reality testing. If you know the objects in your room on the earth plane now, let's say your bedroom, you know, and you're practicing a lucid dreaming technique, which is always best early in the morning, by the way, if you do that, it's an ideal time to do that. Then when you come out of this, or when you awaken on, let's say, maybe the astral plane or the earth, you don't know which one it is, when you look around your room and you see things that are not quite as they should be, they're off by a little bit, like the size or the color or whatever, then you know you're on the astral plane, because the earth plane doesn't change. Nobody comes in and replaces your digital clock in the middle of the night, I'm assuming. So therefore, that's just a way of showing what are the reality testing, because when you wake up, sometimes you wake up and you're still on the astral plane, and that's what I was referring to, the false awakening, you see. And by the way, when you go to sleep at night, this is called the hypnagogic state. This is a neurophysiological term we use in medicine. And that's sort of like you're not quite awake, but you're not quite asleep. You're in that alpha level. That's the hypnotic level. When you wake up in the morning, and this is when a lot of people have memories of their dreams, if they have any at all, you're in what's called the hypnopompic state, which is the same thing. They just use it for waking up or going to sleep. But these are alpha brainwave levels, and if you're a lucid dreamer, that means you're probably more psychically gifted in other things too, Douglas, because that's a pretty good technique to have without training. But you're actually doing a lot more of the out-of-body, and when you're lucid dreaming, that means for the listeners who aren't familiar with that, that means you're aware that you're dreaming while you're dreaming. And you can control the environment. You can change the scenario of the dream as a lucid dreamer. And that's a very empowering technique.
Does that help you, Douglas?
George, one thing, There was a guest host on. That helps very much, Doctor. Thank you. I know my time is short, so I just wanted to say something to you, George. With another guest host on, you weren't on that night, so I don't know if you were listening or not, but I know you often say the Big Bang. You just don't get it. I just
right.
don't understand it. But whoever the guest was on that night said the Big Bang was not an explosion in space, but an explosion of space.
It created space. It actually created the space-time continuum. So there really was no space before the Big Bang, if you go by the theory, you see. Before the Big Bang, there was nothing. We don't know where nothing was, but there was nothing. Then the Big Bang created, mostly it was created radiation, other energy first, and then 400 million years after the Big Bang occurred, then matter was created.
And then how do you explain nothing, though, Bruce?
Well, you can't. Ask Stephen Hawking and Kip Thorne and a whole bunch of others, you know. What happened before? Sort of like, where does the universe end? What's the last thing in the universe, and what's 1 foot behind that? You know, you can't answer those questions.
You can't. You really can't. Let's go to...
what they call a Zen koan.
Samara in Seattle. There you go. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Thanks.
Okay, first of all, let me just say happy birthday to Bruce. I can't think of a better birthday than to spend it with you guys, George.
There you go.
Well, this is a lot better than leaving a brunette on the beach in Montana. Go ahead, what's your question, dear?
I'm also growing very fond of Tom, too. So.
Tommy's a good guy.
Yeah.
What's your question, dear?
So, I think that if we, first, if you watch the Holographic Disclosure, parts 1 and 2, he talks about his perspective from his own experiences seeing it astral projecting on how the universe is made, and I think you'll find it very agreeable
okay.
on that one. And then if you... Sorry, I'm so nervous.
That's okay. Only have about a minute left, though, so go ahead.
Okay. I think that we should teach our children at a young age. We should have schools and pyramids to teach our children at a young age that they're capable of doing anything, and they could go to their higher self and see what they're supposed to do.
Listen, you bring up a very good point. I work with educators, and what happens is that if you don't follow their corporate line, then they will punish kids for doing this. If you daydream in school, you get detention. I agree with you. They should expand the alpha techniques. You'll study better with hypnosis. I used it myself in my undergraduate and dental school. You can also increase your creativity and psychic awareness, but school systems don't like it, especially public schools. They hate it. So we have a common goal here, but the problem is you're dealing with the man here, and the man isn't very, shall we say, open-minded.
That's true. Bruce, get out your toll-free number for us.
1-800-527-6248, which is 1-800-KARMA for you, KARMA, the number 4, the letter U. And, again, only call that if you don't have a computer. Everything else is on the website, exercises, videos, George's clip of the Beyond Belief show, everything is there. And I want to thank you, George, again for the opportunity to...
thank you, Bruce. You have a great birthday.
A very nice birthday with you guys, too.
Happy birthday, Dr. Bruce. Appreciate you. Bruce Goldberg. And again, his website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Stick with us all week long. We've got some great shows for you here on Coast to Coast. I know it's been a tense couple weeks with everything that's been going on, culminating with this situation in Paris. And we're still monitoring that story, as well as police cornered in on a few of these thugs and killed a couple of them. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasour, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.